Hello, I'm Lenore Moudou. Welcome to Health Chat. On the program today, we will look at sleepwalking and autism. But first, more than 4,000 monkeypox cases have been reported worldwide in at least 50 countries since the beginning of May, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Some observers describe the current monkeypox outbreak as a pandemic. However, the World Health Organization has announced that the global monkeypox outbreak does not constitute a public health emergency of international concern, at least not for the moment. We spoke with Dr. Mary Stephens, technical officer with the WHO Regional Office for Africa. She shares more insights.
A public health emergency of international concern is an extraordinary event as defined by the international health regulations that puts states at risk of transmission, especially through travel of any potential public health threats. The current multi-country monkeypox outbreak does not constitute a public health emergency of international concern yet. But also the mechanism, the way it works for the IHR, if, for instance, there is a rapid evolution of the outbreak, the DG can convene another emergency committee to look at the available data and advise against. And secondly, it also does not mean no action. Countries have been called to take action to make sure that they are alert, ramping up surveillance to detect cases, the capacity for laboratory to confirm these cases, contact tracing, to also care for those that are sick, and make sure that the population is engaged, community engagement is taking place, risk communication, so that people understand how it spread and how they can protect themselves.
That was Dr. Mary Stephen, technical officer with the WHO Regional Office for Africa. We turn now to sleepwalking. Imagine leaving your bed to go to the kitchen and pour yourself a drink, but you are not awake. That's sleepwalking, a phenomenon that causes people to get up, walk, and carry out activities while asleep. Also known as somnambulism or noctambulism, experts say sleepwalking is a type of sleep disorder known as parasomnia or abnormal behavior during sleep, and combines sleep and wakefulness. Sleepwalking mostly happens to children, but many adults also have the disorder. Accidents can happen during sleepwalking and cause injuries. Let's go to Ethiopia, where some people who have experienced sleepwalking look for some answers.
Sleepwalking, also known as somnambulism, is when people perform activities such as walking while asleep. Haptamo Kumlacho is 23-year-old Hawassa University student. He said he used to sleepwalk.
When my family told me what I had done in my sleep, they laughed. Sometimes I find myself waking up in a different bed than the one I fell asleep in. And when I ask them if they were the ones who moved me, they tell me that I have been sleepwalking. I think it might be related to insomnia or oversleeping. We have never actually thought of it as a health problem.
Research done by Stanford University School of Medicine concluded that 3.6% of people that participated in the study in the United States over the course of a year experienced episodes of sleepwalking. However, 30% of respondents reported sleepwalking during childhood or adolescence.
Nothing has happened to me, but I know a person in my neighborhood who has died while sleepwalking.
Since people are not aware of what they're doing in their sleep, they may unknowingly put themselves in danger. For example, attempting to use the stove or walking outside into the street.
I don't sleepwalk anymore, but I used to, and it worried my grandmother a lot. She would lock the house with different keys so that I couldn't leave in the middle of the night.
Experts recommend implementing other safety precautions like keeping car keys and sharp objects out of reach.
Many of my family members used to think my sleepwalking was something that was happening because I was drunk, but it wasn't.
A study published in the National Library of Medicine concluded that there is no direct experimental evidence that alcohol triggers sleepwalking. Experts say there's an association with certain conditions and sleepwalking, such as migraines, sleep apnea, or side effects of some medications. But the question whether it's the medical condition causing the sleepwalking or the treatment for the condition causing it. So more research is needed to determine the direct cause.
For more on sleepwalking, we spoke with Dr. Nacho Mohamed Abdallah, a physician at Muhimbili National Hospital in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. He tells us more about sleepwalking and what can be done.
So it's a disease mostly observed in children than adults. And these characteristics may involve waking up at night, unconsciously sitting on the bed, just staring, or can involve some physical activity like moving around, wandering around. Sometimes they may present like eating something or talking or screaming without awareness. In extreme situation, these people may even leave the house. I've seen in myself one, two cases. One was a lady who was usually getting out of the house and walk. And the other one, which is a common presentation, those patients who wake up wandering in the room and trying maybe to urinate in appropriate places. You know, in all that, usually it is being associated with some underlying neurological diseases. Obstructive sleep apnea is one of them because they interrupt the normal rhythm cycle of sleep. In the sleep stages, we have up to four stages. So the stage one to stage three, they are referred to non-rapid eye movement. And actually the sleepwalkers, they do wake up around this stage. And the stage four is referred to rapid eye movement. And the fourth stage is the stage where that the dreams come. For most of the time, it is symptomatic treatment. We are using the drugs called sedative medication to increase the depth of their sleep. Drugs like commonly Valium, but some other lifestyle changes, but improving the general sleep hygiene, the environment of the sleep, the kind of mattress they're using, and the behavioral. Like, you know, in adults, they may involve in behavioral, like taking some exciting drugs like alcohol. And these may interfere with the normal sleep stages, especially if you drink during the evening time or taking caffeine too much during the evening time. And once you treat that underlying cause, you will find that the frequency of this sleepwalking going down, down. You need to make sure that the environment they are in are a safe environment. There are no instruments around which may hurt themselves. To make sure that even you close the doors and window properly. And maybe if they are children, they should not sleep themselves. They might be involved in a physical activity that may be very dangerous. You know, at this moment, you needed to awake them. But you have to be gentle, not to cause the terror to them. But it's not advisable. Because you can simply guide them to go back to their beds.
That was Dr. Nacho Mohamed Abdallah with the Muhimbili National Hospital in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. A growing number of people are turning to bio-wearable devices to help them manage their health conditions and improve their lives. VOA's Julie Tabo explains.
Fred is an avid gardener, a hobby he gets to enjoy more of these days now that his diabetes is under control.
Before, when I used the test strip, I was more worried about my diabetics. Now I feel that now I have a hand in controlling my diabetics. That gives me
That's
more peace of mind.
That's thanks in part to a device he wears on his body that continuously tracks and records his blood sugar levels so he and his doctor can be better informed. The data has helped him make lifestyle changes that have improved his glucose levels. Fred asked that his last name not be used to protect his privacy.
This device helped me to manage my daily diet, and I was able to achieve the goal that I had.
A growing number of people like Fred are turning to wearable devices to help manage their health, to track their walking steadiness, or simply monitor their lives.
I use my Apple Watch to check my steps, my heart rate, and my general activity levels.
Consumers can share that data with their physician.
I can get gait analysis off of your iPhone. And moreover, I can detect falls off of an Apple Watch. In 1 week, I'm getting the same sample that I would normally be getting in a year. So this is really changing how we're viewing preventing and managing, you know, our population.
For many people, the privacy and security of their health data is a concern.
We want to be able to have reliable data that's secure from a patient protection standpoint.
Fred's device is made up of a sensor that attaches to his body. He enters a code into his smartphone and data is transferred via a transmitter.
Did you think about your something in your heart or your blood pressure or your blood sugar? You constantly get obsessed with it. With this, that obsession is out of the picture.
Technologies are being developed today that will be even less intrusive, gathering health quietly through devices like smartwatches and phones, Dr. Milani says.
The ideal technology is something that's completely passive. I don't have to even know how to do anything. It's just doing it behind the scenes, and then it'll let me or whoever I designate know whenever there's an issue that I should be concerned about.
That's good news for Fred, who'd rather spend his time out of doctor's offices than in his garden. Julie Tabo, VOA News.
You are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It's time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis. Join me and our panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including Russia's aggression against Ukraine is high on the agenda as U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken meets with other foreign ministers from the Group of 20 this week in Bali, Indonesia. Join us for Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
All the news and programs about Africa and the world are available to you around the clock on voaafrica.com. Our team is working on updating the news and updating new programs minute by minute to be at the tip of your fingertips. Make it a habit to visit our website, voaafrica.com. You will be glad you did.
Welcome back to Health Chat. Autism spectrum disorders is a group of disorders with similar characteristics. People on the autism spectrum often struggle with social interaction, communication, and eye contact. But the degrees and needs of patients vary from one person to another. Autism includes Asperger's syndrome and pervasive developmental disorder. In Africa, many people with autism face stigma in their communities. In some cases, parents even struggle to accept their child's condition. A specialized care center in Rwanda is trying to change that. Our correspondent, Mitch Shumiza, visited Autism Rwanda Center, a school that supports children on the autism spectrum and their families. Here is more.
Here in the Rwandan capital, Kigali, there is a special school specifically for children with autism. It welcomes students between the ages of 2 to 15. The school opened about 8 years ago with only 6 students. But now, 57 have enrolled, and there is a waiting list of over 300.
Children with autism are able to study here. We help them to do everything without judging them. In fact, we understand their behavior. That's the difference with other schools whereby no one understands them. Here, they play together. But in ordinary schools, when they try to play with other children, they are mocked, excluded, etc. What they need is a supportive environment.
The founder says the kind of education provided here will set these students up for success in the future.
We have children who are in the fifth year of the primary circle and who study well, who have good grades. So these children are capable of achieving a lot, So we focus on an individualized and personalized program.
The number of children living with autism in Africa is unknown. Experts say the condition is underdiagnosed due to lack of awareness and cultural misconceptions. Educators say children on the autism spectrum should be sent to specialized schools as early as 3 years old to better meet their educational needs. Mrs. Kamagaju says once the stigma is lifted, they can thrive socially, scholastically, and even musically. One parent says he has noticed significant improvement in this child's ability to learn since attending school at the center.
Before my child came here, he was not able to communicate, even to write. Today he's able for counting and writing. He can write 1 to 20.
And the students do not only learn from the teachers, they also learn from each other.
Beatrice Foster is a clinical supervisor and international behavior analyst with Autism Compassion Africa in Cape Coast, Ghana. She discusses the challenges faced by African patients with autism and what needs to be done.
So we have some early signs of autism. So it's like a typical, neurotypical kid. By 6 months, the child should be kind of having eye contact, can be playing and having back and forth communication with, say, mother or parents. A child with autism may show signs that may not be able to have that contact with you, eye contact with you, may not be responding to their names. Sometimes some of them are not vocal to you at a stage that a child should respond to vocals. A child with autism may not have that development, so may not be communicating using their vocals at that time. Also other different things like attending, being able to focus, and then some repetitive behaviors too. We have specialists, people who have specialized in autism, and so are able to offer diagnosis for individuals who are autistic. But it is scarce because, I mean, Cape Coast, and in Cape Coast, we have one teaching hospital that has a doctor who diagnosed children with autism. And we don't have enough in the other regions. Children with autism are just like us. Most of them are still yet to understand that a child with autism also has a unique potential. But mostly people stigmatize, label these individuals who are autistic, and so it leaves that burden on the parents. Sometimes parents feel so bad to send their children to school just because they feel people will label them. We had an incident where a 2-year-old boy was buried alive because he's autistic. He has a special need, and so parents think he's not a human being, he's a snake, he's a river kid. And by God's grace, this boy was rescued. Following this news, we went to the community where the child was buried. We went to talk to people one-on-one. We went to houses, we went to the assembly man, and then visited individuals who have such individuals who are autistic. So as part of the direct services, ACA provide ABA, Applied Behavior Analysis Intervention, for children with autism and their families. We work on communication, social skills, self-help, and other areas too, so that they can gain independence and being able to integrate in the community. ACA has taken it upon ourselves to create the awareness, and as part of that, we've had to create a public service announcement to share out there on social media, and we use the local language. And we do have trainings for schools. So we've had partnership with a tertiary institution where we had to go there, talk to teachers about autism and how they can help bring out the best in this case.
That was Beatrice Fosia with Autism Compassion Africa. Now, Sel Seyoum is a mother whose son has autism. Faced with her child's unique abilities and needs, she decided to turn her challenges into an opportunity to bond with her son while empowering others. She shares her story.
My child was very severely diagnosed, but he's fine today. He has improved a lot. Consistency is important. The diagnosis comes with a language disorder. So his program, educational program that I designed, has a language-oriented program. And under that program, we had to tackle like 4 components that help him to be where he is right now. So it's number 1 is reading, number 2 is nutrition and his music, because that's his strength, and also the physical movement. So that hands-on program, that reach program, helped him to get where he is now. At 18 years old, he has graduated last year, and today we look forward for his adulthood transition. So for him to do what he loves the best and the most, which is music. He has this extraordinary memory of sound. You know, people do have photographic memory. You know, his auditory memory is unbelievable. So we use his strength to teach him. So when we create material, teaching materials, the unit we're tackling becomes lyrics. I don't know how to sing, so I guess he got that part. And he asked me to read him the song with whistling. So that's his way also of interacting, you know, that the social interaction. But in terms of concern, now that he's 18, we would like, you know, an establishment to teach him, considering his unique profile, his talent, to be able to teach him from where he is at and bring his talent out there, you know. So he has a lot to share. He wants to learn. He wants to know. But we see a bright future for him because he has strength. He has happiness. He has talent. For parents, I would say focus on the strength of the child from the beginning. Once you focus on the strength of the child, many doors can open. The challenge will become an opportunity to teach more, because every day is an opportunity to teach more, and also for him to learn, for the child to learn. Focus on the nutrition aspect. This is really one of the interventions that we did that really has helped our child, focusing on whole food. Parents, take care of yourself. At least in my experience at the beginning, I didn't do it, and I paid a price. Because your child would need you forever, you know, and take care of yourself, find that balance. You are also a role model, so you take care of yourself and your child will take care of him or herself.
That was Celsie Yum sharing her story of life with an autistic child. Many people struggle with feelings of loneliness and social isolation. For some, a robot companion might make a difference, and states like New York are starting to provide them to residents free of charge. Once again, here is VOA's Julie Tabo.
Elocu, can we have coffee?
I like that idea.
David Kelly is about to enjoy his morning coffee with Elocu, his robot companion.
Where in the virtual world do we want to go?
Paris.
Magnifique. Sit back and enjoy the sights and sounds.
Each morning, Elocu takes David on a virtual visit to a different cafe around the world. Just one of the perks of living with an assistive robot. It was a gift to David from his partner, Greg Allen.
I wasn't a really big fan at first, although he let me think he was.
When do you think you'll return?
Once I started interacting with her, it was like she was amazing.
With artificial intelligence, built-in sensors, and voice controls, Elocu is among a new class of robots that experts say are going to play an increasingly important role in the lives of older adults.
There simply haven't been robots that have been sophisticated enough to be ready to be used by real people. And we're finally seeing robots that are able to be deployed in the real world with real people.
Elocu.
In addition to coffee time, Elocu does a daily health assessment.
Can you tell me what blood glucose reading you got today?
176.
Got it. I'll jot it down.
Elocu also helps to keep David's mind sharp with brain teasers.
In Charlotte's Web, what type of animal is Charlotte?
A spider.
And inspirational words.
Thank you for that.
You are very welcome.
And images.
Tell me about this picture.
David says Elocu even provides some emotional comfort, reminding him of his sister, who died 9 years ago.
Elocu came in, and her voice reminds me of my sister. It just makes me feel good that, you know, it's that connection that I had with my sister.
Hey, Timmy, go to the office.
There are other assistive robots in the Allen Kelly household.
Hey, Jibo, how are you feeling today?
I'm on top of the world.
But none, they say, are quite like Eliku, who is programmed for empathy.
For an AI to truly help humans, it needs to project empathy. It needs to be on a journey with them. Our customers don't refer to Eliku as a device or as a product. They refer to Eliku as a companion, a roommate, a character or a presence in their lives.
Let's have some fun, David.
That appears to be the case in this home.
She has joined the two of us closer than we were before.
I can't imagine now being without her.
I'm glad we had this talk, David. I'm always here to listen.
Eliku, thank you.
Julie Tabo, VOA News, North Chesterfield, Virginia.
The World Food Program warns the Central African Republic is facing unprecedented levels of food insecurity due to conflict, population displacement, widespread poverty, and underemployment. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
WFP officials say they anticipate a sharp increase in commodity prices this year and extending well into 2023. They say the price of rice is expected to rise by 30%, wheat flour by 67%, and vegetable oil by a staggering 70%. That, they note, will make staple food products unaffordable for millions of people, leading to more hunger and more distress as people are forced to resort to extreme measures to put food on the table. WFP spokesman Thompson Theory says 2.2 million people are food insecure in CAR.
The figure might not shock you out of your seats, but when you look at the population size, that's nearly half the population of the Central African Republic. And the country now joins the League of Nations such as Afghanistan, Yemen, South Sudan with highest proportion of acutely food insecure.
As less food becomes available, Theory says more children will suffer from malnutrition. UNICEF says the number of severely acutely malnourished children under age 5 is expected to rise in the country by 10% this year to 69,000. Children suffering from the condition are at risk of dying if they do not get the right medical and nutritional care. Theory says the WFP is struggling to provide the food and specialized treatment needed by children, women, and other vulnerable people in the CAR, and a lack of money is hindering those efforts.
Our cost of operating are skyrocketing. The United Nations World Food Program is appealing urgently for $68.4 million without immediate funding. Food and nutrition insecurity will only increase for millions of people.
Theory says the challenges facing the CAR are well documented and predate the crisis in Ukraine. But noting the impact of the war on rising commodity and fuel prices, he says humanitarian assistance will be required well beyond this year and into 2023. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
That's all for this edition of Health Chat. For more health news and medical breakthroughs, visit voanews.com. and voaafrica.com. Thank you all for joining us, and special thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Lina Khmudu, in Washington, with producer Dan Brown. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Lina Khmudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
For up-to-date news and programs, we are always here.
All the news and programs about Africa and the world are available to you around the clock on voaafrica.com.
Our team is here, working around the clock to provide you with all the updates.
Make it a habit to visit our website, voaafrica.com.